B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haney's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It sounded like an abrupt end to the music. It was, because we're having computer issues, but that's beside the point. Here is the point. As we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, the day after an Eagles loss to the Detroit Lions, which I will tell you should never happen. And I don't care who they have on the football field. You should not lose to an inferior team like the Detroit Lions at home. So here is what we have to look at as far as reality goes. And I think about the Phillies and how we judged the Phillies early in the season. And we had this notion that the Phillies were a contending team, that they were definitely a playoff team. So let's take that feeling and now translate it to the Eagles, because I never thought that I would even think this thought. But I got to throw it out there because I want to see if people are thinking this. Have we overvalued how good the Eagles are? Now, I know it's hard to put a value on a team that is hurt and banged up and is without weapons. But, you know, that said, without weapons, you should beat the Detroit Lions, and they didn't do it. And they didn't do it because certain guys on this team either were overvalued as backup players, either the coach is overvalued for his play calling, And various other things, like the things that we counted on, like the front four that we thought was good, all of a sudden is not showing up at all. The running backs, they thought improved the situation. Maybe they have, but they don't play one of the guys that they brought in to improve the situation. So right now, I'm befuddled. I don't know if they're any good or not. And what I know is, if you lose to Green Bay on Thursday, 1-3 is a tough road to hoe, to use that too often used cliche, as far as getting a proper seed in the playoffs. It's all about getting the proper seed. You're less likely to win something unless you get home field advantage in the playoffs. And I thought this was a team that would vie for home field advantage in the playoffs. And the way it looks now is that if you keep losing games, you know, you're taking off. You go, what can they do? Can they be 11-5 and still win a division? Now it's out of question. So, and you can see three more losses on the schedule. All right, so let's break it down individually. And this is just some of my thoughts that I wrote down, and I'll hit them one by one. Let's just start with Jordan Howard. Now, it is evident to me that the Eagles, for whatever reason it is, and I would like to hear your theories on this, don't like him that much. There could be no other conclusion that they have seen Jordan Howard in practice, and they just don't have enough confidence in him, or else they would have him run the ball more. So what is it? Is that a colossal misjudgment that was made by the front office, or was that the ineptitude in the coaching ranks where they don't commit to a guy that can maybe help them? That's A. Now, the mistakes of drops and fumbles. Again, did they misjudge guys, or are they unable to coach these guys? Because concentration has to do with being coached tight. Right? You see the New England Patriots. They can throw anybody on the field of inferior talent. Right? Any kind of nondescript wide receiver buys into what they do to the point where they have concentration enough to make plays no matter what the situation. These guys don't have enough concentration. Aguilar, as I said before, is the Michael Franco of the Philadelphia Eagles. How long do we need to see the fact that he just doesn't catch on? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he looks scared. Mac Hollins, the guy last week, we were broiling because he said he had a preference for special teams. All of that has to deal with players that you have believed in that can do the job, and now you find out they can't do the job. So it's either your fault as a coaching staff, or it's the fault of the people who selected these guys for this team. All right, let's go to the defensive rush. They committed big money to Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham looks done to me. Now, maybe not totally done. You'll see him flash make a play. But for the most part, he's not a guy that you're going to consistently count on every week to get pressure on the quarterback. To say nothing of the other side, on Derek Barnett, who seems to get injured every other play, and is still coming off an injury. To say nothing of Fletcher Cox, who's still coming off an injury, but also may have reached that plateau in his career. So now you got guys in three games that have no sacks that you're playing. This had to be an essential element of the Philadelphia Eagles, because you were already going into this with weakened defensive backs, and they showed again that they were weak. Darby got picked on again. Still, Douglas made a couple of plays, but he also made some bad plays. So you can't count on the cornerbacks to pick you up if you're not getting a rush. You're not getting a rush. It's mind-boggling that they can't get a rush on the quarterback after three games. Now let's go to Doug. There are a lot of people on Twitter that keep bringing up Frank Reich. All right, I get it. But wasn't this coach supposed to be sophisticated enough to call a good game play-wise? He just doesn't seem like he has any idea right now on how to put this team with backup players in the best situation. Now, you can go, well, if I don't have my star wide receivers, then I got to commit to Jordan Howard and run the ball. There are little things that you have to notice in your head to coach a game. I don't have X and Y, but I got this guy, so we'll change it up and we'll concentrate on our strengths. They had two possessions late in the game. They got nothing out of. Their last two possessions got nothing. Now, is that Carson Wentz or is that the play calling? For the people who want to blame Carson Wentz, I remember the day when I blamed Donovan McNabb in that playoff game against Arizona. He had the ball at the 50-yard line and couldn't move him an inch. So it's fair if you're going to come down on Carson Wentz for having the ball at the 50 and not being able to do anything with it, it's a fair criticism. A quarterback has to win a game occasionally. The balance to that is, are the plays so god-awful that he can't execute anything? They got 5 yards on that drive. And a chance for a field goal that ties the game. They got 5 yards. Somebody's got to pay for that. Somebody's got to take the heat, whether it's the coaching staff or it's the quarterback. Now, the 4th-and-8 call is ridiculous. But it doesn't matter in this case. So let's pretend that Malcolm Jenkins doesn't block the field goal. You got 3 timeouts left. It's 4th-and-8 deep in your own territory. If you don't convert it, the game is over. They kick a field goal, the game is over. So you go 4th and 8 with 3 timeouts. In what world is that heady play calling? And finally, let's get to Malcolm Jenkins. And I'm reading, well, Malcolm Jenkins got an A for an A. Yeah, he made a nice block on the field goal attempt. And he gave it right back with a block in the back. He doesn't touch anybody. They got an easy field goal to tie the game. He sends it back to the 50. So there are a lot of things wrong with this team right now. And then you wrap it around the whole circle of, have we overvalued the Philadelphia Eagles? So I got to ask that question, Tyrone. I'll ask you right out of the chute. Have we overvalued this team?
Yes.
We have.
Yes, because the one thing you didn't mention also was when they got the ball at the 50, Mac Hollins on across the middle dropped
second
one.
The second down play, he didn't catch the ball.
So that's why, part of why they only gave 5 yards.
I got it.
No, and the reason I say that is you would think, coming into the season, what I thought was I knew the receivers might not play all 16. So I thought that a Mac Hollins and you draft a guy in the second round, that if they're called upon, not that they would be stars, that they would be passable NFL players. They're not. And basic things, Aguilar, you think, we would think, because in the past he would be a passable number three with low pressure, you would think, okay, he's a passable number three receiver. In the Atlanta game, he had a chance to win that game. He blows it. Mac Hollins has a chance. J.J. or Sega Whiteside on that last play, it hit him in the wrist because his hands missed it. These guys aren't even passable. So if you have no depth whatsoever at your receiver core, as far as your weapons, you're not that good a team. So, yes, we overvalued because we thought they would be passable in multiple spots. They're not passable. Without the top two wide receivers, they're bad. And I don't know if that's not good enough to be bad at multiple spots. They're bad there. They weren't supposed to be bad there. On the defense, we kind of suspect that there might be some players that are bad. On offense, no one was supposed to be bad. A bunch of guys are bad, so we overvalued.
Here's what I think could happen. I actually think the Eagles can win Thursday, in which case we'll be back on that comeback trail. I know. Now, the line is going up to 4.5. So at first, when it was posted 3.5, I go, well, you know that this team, when we get totally down on them, they'll flash something and they'll win a game that you don't expect them to win. I think that's possible. They could win Thursday. I'm not ready to commit to it. But if they don't win the game 1-3, it's an uphill climb at this point. After the Jets, who should be a bop, then you get into the killer bees here with the schedule. So, I don't know. I want to hear from the people today because the thought crossed my mind that, you know, just like the Phillies, so you come to the realization they're not good enough. Are the Eagles, have we overvalued the Eagles? When we looked at it, we go, wow, they're deep. They backed up every position. That's changed. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show the day after. And Eagles lost to the Lions. A game I said there's no way the Lions could win this game. None. And they wound up winning the game. They gave them two short fields on turnovers, and they get to give up a kickoff return. We're back after this. I'm 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 2 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour, always brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, this is the Ferguson's County locations on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. It's where you can find equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start a Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention, all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit PaulBMoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Good day, Mike. Happy Monday. We have over 1,000 votes on this one so far. Have we overvalued how good the Eagles are? 67% say yes, 33% say no.
You know, the Eagles have been outscored in the first half. I think this is right. 50-23. Now, that speaks to preparation, does it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, team score 50 points, get you, you only have 23? That means your defensive play is not that good, and you can't move the ball that well.
And actually, Five brought up a really good point this morning on the morning show. Remember when Andy Reid would do maybe mix in a trick play or something like that? Because sometimes that gets guys laser focused because they're enthusiastic about the trick play or something like that. Mm-hmm. When's the last time Doug did anything like that? to give the guys a jolt.
No, you're right, but like, I get that, and maybe they should, but it's like they don't do the conventional things, like the Jordan Howard thing. It's, I mean, they give you the impression that they bought bad goods with this guy. And maybe they have. I mean, I don't know. I can't see him at practice. He looked like he ran hard yesterday when he got the chance to run.
He did. I think they're so worried about being quote-unquote one-dimensional because after the second Sanders fumble, right, the next series after that, they put him in the slot. They threw it to him and he dropped, it dropped right off his head. But, first of all, guys are going to drop the ball sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be okay for everybody else and not okay with him. Everybody else is dropping it. Why are you only holding it against him? And just run the ball. Sometimes, like Brooks graded really well in the game run blocking. As a matter of fact, the whole line did much better run blocking this week compared to last week. And they didn't get, I don't know, they ran 30 times. I don't know what's going on.
All right, let's go to the phone. Let's see if the people know what's going on. Brandon and Manion. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brandon.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
What's up, Brandon?
It was a sad, sad day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have one fun fact about Wentz. I heard that he was had the third most tackles yesterday in the game.
Yeah, he made a couple of really good hits, actually.
That's scary, though. You know, don't you think that's a little bit scary? Because, like, you know, he's just coming off an injury. This whole team has been cursed by injuries.
You got to make the tackle, though. You can't just let a guy go.
So I have a question for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear your opinion on this. So last year, Wentz came in way too early. We all know that. He ended up getting, like, a back injury. Do you think the same thing could happen with like Aljon or with Deshaun this year? Yes. I think we're going to ask too much of them, have them come in, and then inevitably they get injured.
I'm a little worried about their nagging injuries.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about this Deshaun thing with the groin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm scared, man. I definitely am.
You got guys that are older now. See, this is the thing. You can never count on guys that get to a certain age to get healthier. Like, they're never going to be healthier than what they are. They might come back from injury, but they're never going to be healthier. Like, and that's what I see right now in Brandon Graham and maybe Cox. Like, the miles have just compiled on them. And you wonder if they can ever get back to what they were.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot on this game against Green Bay. I actually just heard another caller say it earlier. My girlfriend is a huge Packers fan. So this game, this Thursday night game means a lot to me. And I would like to see us win. They definitely have a struggling offense. And their defense is kind of holding it down for them. But I still am not doubting our Eagles, man. I think that, like, these rookies really just need to wake up, learn what it means to catch a ball, and then maybe we have a little bit of success. But I don't know. Maybe we're going backwards, putting Darren's.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But, you know, this Packers game is the type of game you least expect them to win a game, and all of a sudden you look up, they win the game. Like, I can't discount that right now. They could possibly win that game. Not on merit right now. But something fluky, the ebb and flow of an NFL season. You see it happen every week, something like this happens. Now, maybe the Packers are a little banged up, and they're going to play a Thursday night game that they're not ready for. Well, who knows?
They were the other team, one of the other teams that did the walkthrough this past week. They were banged up, so that's a factor.
They've never lost a Thursday night game at Lambeau, though, right? I don't think they have.
Well, that's not a big sample size. How many have they possibly played?
I don't know, but the home field advantage on a short week is what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Well, they're favored for a reason.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking at the two drives. Don't blame Carson Wentz because he did have the pass complete to Mac Hollins and he dropped it. He did have, I don't know if he had Sproles or not. He probably wouldn't have had Sproles on that play if Sproles didn't push off the play where they called it back.
Yeah.
Now, but let's look at the other drive.
Okay.
All right, so because they had two drives.
Right.
They were 0 for their last two drives.
Mm-hmm.
They get the ball at the 20-yard line, 3:16 left. Short pass right to Aguilar for 2 yards. What is that?
What?
What 2 yards? It's a 2-yard play. Second down and 8, incomplete the Ortega Whiteside. Third and 8, incomplete, deep left to Aguilar. Is that one he dropped? He dropped that, or was that just incomplete?
That was just incomplete. No one was open on that play.
And nobody's open on fourth down when they go for it on fourth and 8, so he has to scramble.
Right.
And that's a wasted drive.
Well, you had plenty of time. Where's the run play?
Well, that's what I mean. So it's a bad play call.
Yeah, I don't know why you do four passes there. I understand if the first down pass, second and 8, you run the ball there. Let's say you get 3 yards. Third and 5. Third and 4, something like that, a lot easier, and you could possibly run it again. If the coach thinks that it's 4 downs, especially, mm-hmm. right? If you're 2nd and 8, How don't you mix in a run there if you think it's four down territory? Because that's his thing.
Listen, I got you. But at the end of the day, the quarterback he has to make a play.
I tell you that you're saying that. You didn't even mention any of the seven or nine drops.
I said they dropped. One of the first thing I said, that they had drops. I get it. They had drops. When it comes down to the last two drives of the game, you got to make a play. We expect every quarterback to make a play.
And we expect the receivers to catch it.
I get it. There was one drop.
No, there wasn't.
There was one drop to Hollins.
No, there was two drops.
Who was the second? Oh, the Ortega one?
Yes.
Wow, that's a contested ball.
The ball wasn't touched. He's got to catch the ball.
I understand.
Hit his wrist.
The guy's hands are like right there. It wasn't like it was wide open.
All these plays are happening.
And plus, that was a desperation toss anyway.
Yeah, that was completed.
It's not a play. It's not a design play where the quarterback makes a play.
I think scrambling and throwing it 60 yards in the air and hitting the guy in the head is a
good play. I don't
want to
rip the guy either. Okay, I don't want to rip Wentz. I don't want to sit here and rip Wentz. All I know is that I sat here and destroyed McNabb at the 50-yard line for not making a play.
The quarterback has
the responsibility of making a play.
There's no drops in that situation.
What? You're talking about one drop.
Not
Hollins.
And
Whiteside is either or.
And the one incomplete to Ertz, I thought was a drop. There was tight coverage on the sideline on that drive. On the left side after the Aguilar play.
All right. Eric, Long Island, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Mike, let me go on a little bit of a rant here. I'm disgusted. I'm livid. I'm angry with this football team. They're not getting enough from the skill position players. You know, you can make the argument, even with these injuries, you know, I'm not expecting the Ortega Whitesides and the Hollins and the Aguilars to go out there and put up nine catches, 120 yards, and two touchdowns. But when the ball is in your hands, you got to be able to make plays. I mean, this is an amateur hour here at Stanford University. It's a National Football League. All right, the fact that you have the ball at the 50-yard line after a block kick and you can't move the ball 15 yards, I mean, sorry, somebody's got to get open and catch the damn ball. And when they do get open, can we stop putting the ball on the ground, reference Miles Sanders in the second quarter twice, and then Aguilar, who you can't count on. He burned you last week against Atlanta. I mean, yeah, he made one nice play yesterday, broke one or two tackles, got in the end zone, but come on, this is a third receiver. This guy's not good. And as far as the defense goes, I'm sorry, two sacks in three games by this front four, yet Jadeveon Clowney walked out of the door, goes to Seattle. We got a secondary in Darby and company with Douglas and Mills, and even if he's healthy, and Rasul Douglas, who can't cover anybody. I mean, you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey sitting there. If you're Howie Roseman, we praise this guy all the time. Well, you know what? Buck up and go get this guy, because we can't cover anybody. And if you look at the big picture right now, should we lose to Green Bay, we're going to be 1-3 after September with three conference losses. I mean, at the end of the day, where is this team going to be at the end of the year? 10-6? And if you're 10-6, there's no guarantee you're winning a tiebreaker against anybody with five or six conference losses. The best case scenario for the Eagles right now is to somehow sweep Dallas, win the NFC East, not get a bye, and take your chances then. And I don't even know if they could do that. I'm so disgusted with this football team. They better get figured this out in the next 7 to 2 hours.
Eric, man, that was quality. That was a quality dissertation. And you're not wrong. And I can hear the emotion in you. And everybody, every Eagle fan who watched that game yesterday, seriously, they're going to lose this game at home against the Lions? Can't be possible. They lost it. And they lose to Green Bay 1-3. It's an uphill climb from 1-3. Different perspective on a season that you thought was going to result in, my God, they're in the hierarchy of the NFC. And all of a sudden, you climb it uphill. You're going for that last baseball wild card spot. You know, that's what it turns out to be.
Yeah, that's not fun. 1-2, if they win Thursday, all is well.
Yes.
But if they don't, it's going to be a big trouble.
Yes. And I think they could pull it out.
Yeah, because the Patriots literally were 1-2 last year and lost to the Lions for the second loss. Turned out all right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's possible 1-2. But doesn't look good for Thursday.
Here's Steve. South Jersey. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Oh, Mike, I'm so aggravated. You know, let me make a couple points, all right? Please help me. Let me vent here for a minute. Let me go first to the running backs. I agree with everything you guys are saying about Jordan. The guy first starts out, four carries, 20 yards, and then you don't see him for like three possessions. Number one, what happened to Dallas Bowles and the ROP, the little 5-6-year-old pair? When's the last time you seen that? Okay.
I'll tell you what that's about. He's burned out already. He had 20 touches in game one, which is a reflection of bad coaching. Now he looks done.
Exactly. How about Jordan, though? You can't give the guy the ball, and he's moving the chains, and then you...
It's the only guy you got left, first of all. Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders, once he puts the cone on the carpet, he's done the rest of the game for me. I know he put some yard, he caught a couple balls. But they shoot after the second fumble, he's returning a kickoff. I can't trust him anymore.
I agree. And here's another important point on the wide receivers. Okay, between Aguilar and Hollins, we stuck by Hollins through injuries, Aguilar through the head, mental, this and that. The two main guys we hung by the most mentally dropped some of the biggest passes, especially Aguilar last week in the big games. It's ridiculous. These guys, if it hits your hands, you got to catch the ball.
Aguilar, I've had enough. How often have we seen this? It's become Michael Franco all over again. Because then he'll squirm away and get a touchdown, right? And you go, oh, look what he can do. It's the same with Michael Franco. It's a home run, and in seven balls, he'll hit the ground balls to the left side. Exactly. I had enough. Yeah. Like, there's certain guys you go, that's enough.
And last but not least, Mike, on defense, I hope I get this in. I agree with if there's no pass rush, then the corners look even worse. Forget this playing 10 yards back. Get up on the guys. You got a better chance of staying with them than behind.
I got you, man. I got you.
I'm sorry.
No. Listen, this is your emotion coming out. It's the way you feel. I like it. Your secondary, you already know, is an average secondary. If you're not getting a pass rush, then what do you expect? That's not like he lit you up, Stafford. They had short fields that they scored on, but they still didn't cover anybody yesterday. Darby Early was terrible.
They played much better when he went out of the game relative. I mean, they weren't just giving up chunks as much, but
yes,
it's bad. And now he's got a hamstring, so who knows if he can play on Thursday. I don't know if that's a blessing in the short term or not.
I don't know how he's thinking today. How he's going, did I screw up here? My evaluation's bad?
There is some good news,
though. Clintac. My evaluation's bad?
Well, Clintac thinks his were great. Nah, the math says we were great. Clintac, I bet you Howie is probably looking at it. But Ramsey called out sick.
Yeah, so, I saw that.
So apparently he had a meeting with Coughlin that went so bad, which is not hard to believe because this guy, that guy's a dinosaur. He doesn't care about the money anymore. He wants out. And he said, I'm sick today and I'll probably be sick all week.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't move him. But that also hurts their bargaining chip. They want to hold all these first-round picks for a player who's not going to play for them. Good luck getting it.
He AI'd them.
Yep.
About that. All right, let's go Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
What's going on, Mike? How are you, Drew?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Not as good as I should be. But, you know, about that Eagles game yesterday, and I mean, it's the NFL. So, I mean, basically, any given week, any team can win. And so, like you said last week, there was concern going into this game. And the concern was real.
About me. I don't know what the concern was. There shouldn't have been any concern.
Well, it was there, and I had it. And
why would you have concern about that game? All you do is coach it the right way and win a damn game. You're better than that team.
Well, the concern is that you have, you know, intangibles where you have guys who, you know, they missed nine catches. You have two turnovers. You have those things that you can't plan for as a coach. I mean, you know, those are the things that... you know, you can't blame a coach for dropping the ball.
You can blame a coach for not instilling confidence enough in guys that look the ball into their hands. You can blame him for that.
No, true. But one of the things, and I don't ever love to like to blame referees for anything, but I think a couple of those pass interference offensively were a little bit ticky-tack. And the one play I really had a major thing was when the guy ripped Miles Sanders' head off almost, and there was no call on that. So, I mean, there were certain, you know, like I said, you know, those types of plays come up throughout the course of the game that unfortunately just didn't go our way, and you know, we lost by 3 points.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're looking for there. One thing I never do is blame officials. So obviously they missed that call. Did they miss Darren Sproles?
No, that was a good call.
No, that's the one that counts for me.
And then the one on the sideline with Hollins, which he definitely didn't need. It was one of those 50-50 types that he was supposed to be good at.
Yeah.
He pushed unnecessarily because the ball was high enough to where he didn't need to do that. The one you could argue with on early in the game, but two of them were fully, fully legit.
They missed the Malcolm Jenkins block in the back, which took him out of field goal range. They missed that one?
The guy did turn his back. That one was tough. That was a tough one in the video. But I don't care about that. The only one I care about is the Miles Sanders one because of safety. You can't twist a guy's helmet clean off and not call it. No. I worry about safety because our football players already have enough safety concerns.
Yeah, I
you can't
that.
Miss that. That's the one I care about.
Let's go to Duke and Elverson. What's up, Duke?
Oh, Mike.
Hello, Duke.
Mike, count me among those that think this team is overvalued, and I want to touch on one specific reason they're overvalued, and that's team cohesiveness. Now, Tyrone just got done finishing making apologies for Malcolm Jenkins. That was a straight-on push. There was no side angle like he got part of his back or the other half of it. It was straight-on in his back. And then in the post-game interview, he said, oh, geez, I didn't know they called anything. I didn't know until we lined up at the 50-yard line. And here he is. I know I'm attacking an icon of the Eagles, and I'm on treacherous ground, I suppose.
No, but he's not. A bad play. I agree with you. It's a bad play. You took him out of field goal range.
But, Mike, he's over there on the sideline. He had a smile on his face.
Yeah, he was yucking it up over there, yeah.
Yeah, he was so radiant. He could have lit up.
I saw it. In fact, I said to myself, I go, dude, you just cost your team 15.
Exactly.
What's the yuck fest?
Yes, and then they should have been standing on the sidelines cheering on their offense and supporting their offense, and they're over there yucking it up. But nobody criticizes that. And they make nicey-nicey. The coach makes nicey-nicey for his players. The only one who spoke up was Jason Peters, and I applaud him for it.
Yeah.
Jason, that's all I got, Mike.
All right, Duke. You got, get it off your chest. I didn't like the yuck-yuck either. I didn't like Hollins flexing his muscle or shaking his head like after he caught the first pass. He's shaking his head
at
the defender. Like, no, you can't cover me. I'm going, seriously, dude?
No nicey-nicey.
Really?
No. Yeah, apparently Peters got after Aguilar after the fumble on the sideline.
Yeah.
Tough, like, really got after him. It didn't help.
No, because Aguilar snapped back at him, right?
Yeah, like he was like that was no big deal. Like because he'd already had the third down drop before that too.
Aguilar is Michael Franco in ability and Andre Iguodala in attitude. That guy thinks he's better than he really is. Let's go, George in Buckingham. George, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. George,
Mike, great show. I just want to the one important thing: the fans have to relax, just pray, hope, and don't worry. Eagles are going all the way. The important thing. Tyrone touched on it, and this is what I'm calling that blatant face masking against Sanders. You have the opportunity with your great, great reputation to ask the NFL to allow the coaches to throw the red flag when a blatant personal.
You can't challenge that. It's not a challengeable play.
Oh, my Lord. Is it a safety? You're going to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, but that's not a challengeable play.
Well, is there. Maybe they can consider making it?
Listen, if an official can't pick, if one of the officials on the field can't pick that up, I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous. I don't know if you need to make it a challengeable play. You know, that was just blatant. Yeah. They just missed it.
There's nothing
you can do about it.
They attack our football game, injuries, and then yes, history, concussions, etc. This is an opportunity to just for blatant personal face masking type violations so the coach can take that flag.
Yeah. Was that the thing that bothered you the most about yesterday?
Yes.
Really? They lost to the Lions at home, bro. You're worried about one face mask penalty wasn't called?
They're going to win on Thursday. They're going to Miami. Relax.
They're still going all the way? You have to wait. What are you seeing here? Why are you so confident?
In Buckingham, La Haska, we know these things.
Well, tell me what you know, because I see a defensive line that can't sack a quarterback. I see cornerbacks that can't cover. And I see guys that are older receivers who are now hurt, and you never know they're going to come back full strength. What are you seeing?
They're going to wake up.
All right, they're going to wake up. It's not about waking up. It's about the ability at this point. They're going to wake up. You know what? We haven't had a sack in three. I think it's time for us to get some sacks. What do you think? How about you? You in? Derek? Brandon? We in? You know, we didn't want to get sacks the first three games. Let's get them in game four. Seriously? Come on. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, that commercial didn't age well. All right, well, let me just say this. I hate you people on Twitter who continue to use this tired cliche. That tweet didn't age well. I'm sick of it. I've had it up to here. Anytime somebody sends me that, it's an automatic block. Right?
I did the same thing over the weekend.
And these people are so annoying. That tweet didn't age well. There's like 100 maggots out there that keep using that.
Well, and as if you're able to predict the future.
Here's the other thing.
It's old and tired now. The reply of that tweet didn't age well is tired.
And people. Then they do that, and then they go to all these other accounts about cold takes. At the time, UCLA's down 31 points. I'm enjoying it because I don't like Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
You know I'm not a Washington State fan. Anyone that knows me knows I don't care about. I just hate Chip Kelly. They come back and win, and they're acting like I was the coach of Washington State. when I sent the tweet, they were down 31. What do you want me to say? That's a fact. UCLA came back.
That didn't age well.
I was like, so they came back. But when I tweeted it out, they were down 31.
That's what I mean. Twitter's in real time, and people forget that.
In real time, they were down 31. And it was fun for me to see Chip Kelly sweating on the sideline because I don't like him.
And in real time, Brad Miller stinks. So when you put him in a lineup and in a must-win situation, I'm entitled to say, why is Brad Miller in a lineup? And then he hits two home runs.
And then it's
that tweet didn't age well.
Saturday. Yeah. It still was dumb. He got lucky.
Enough.
People get lucky.
Enough of you people. All right, let's go to John in Pottstown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Mike.
What's up, John?
Okay. I got to say, my expectations have really been lowered, and I'm thinking now we're just a playoff team if we can get into the wild card, and I don't even know if we can make that. I figure by Sunday we're going to be 1-3 or 4, I'm sorry, whatever.
1-3,
yeah.
And then you got at Minnesota.
Well, I think Dallas is going to win on Sunday. So that's going to push us through.
At Dallas.
Yeah.
After the Jets. After the Jets, I'm talking about. Like, I'm not even counting the Jets. And at Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know what's going on with the offensive line. I don't know if it's blocking schemes or the talent or whatever, but they paid Wentz all this money. You would figure they would do a lot better in the protection part of the game, and it doesn't seem to be happening. He's getting hit all the time. And
I don't think he got like overly crushed against Detroit. He had time to make enough plays. There were seven drops.
Right, that's true, but still, I mean, in those first couple games, he was getting nailed.
Yeah, but it didn't apply in this game. So why are you ripping your offensive line in this game?
Well, I'm asking.
What are they going to do about it? It's like they got Jason Peters, and then Dillard got a little banged up.
What was the difference between the first two games and this one? In the offensive line.
I didn't think the offensive line hurt them in this game.
But they did in the other two games, correct? With the same personnel?
Yeah.
Okay, so if they go against better teams, what do you see?
He got hit five times. He was hit more in the first two games. I don't know why you're taking today to pick on the offensive line.
Well, it's just because it's been something I've been watching, and because I'm really worried about what's going to happen to Wentz.
I get it, but the story of yesterday's game is the defensive line doesn't get any pressure.
That's true. I mean
that's the main focus right now.
I'm upset with both lines, believe me. I just, like I said, I overvalued both of them because they were supposedly two of the best of lines in football, supposedly offense and defense. Mm. And now it looks like we're, you know, second rate, if that. And with the talent that they do have on the offensive line, I thought for sure, if nothing else, that would be one of the strengths, but it just seems like every game they get to them. Like maybe yesterday, not as bad, but they still got to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're blowing an alarm that does need to be sounded about the offensive line. He held on to the ball a little bit too long in the first couple games, so he was responsible for a lot of those hits himself. But that, you know, listen, that's way down on a priority list right now, the offensive line, isn't it?
Right, and then Peters got sick, but he was able to come back in after the IV.
Yeah.
And he was able to play the entire second half, so the Dillard thing is, I guess, concerning, but he's not the starter. And Brooks graded out perfectly, no pressures or whatever, mm-hmm. So your right guard's been completely rock solid. No, that's not the main concern.
Sam Malo had a rough go 2 weeks ago, obviously, but
he was better in the game. He graded way better.
Yeah, Tony in Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tony?
I'm all right. I don't understand why did we get Jordan Howard if we're not going to use him. I didn't understand that.
Well, listen, there is something they don't trust, obviously, about Jordan Howard. Now, I don't know what it is because I don't see it in practice, but they see something they don't trust. It's obvious to me.
Yeah, like they got Miles Sanders. He's on the field too much for me. I don't know who's controlling the running back. Is it Deuce Staley?
But the offensive staff is all clued into who they want to play. If they thought highly of Jordan Howard would be carrying the football a lot more.
Yeah, it seems like every time he touches the ball, it's positive yards. I don't understand. And then the play calling, a lot of the play calling is all over the place.
Yeah, they're not covering themselves in glue. They're not sharp play calling right now. And again, the Doug Peterson thing, he has a tendency to be a little numbskulled, right? I mean, let's face it. So the question is, like, he didn't have Frank Reich last year, right? Was he that bad? Was he that bad as a play caller last year? He was?
He wasn't great last year.
All right. I don't know what to say, but their offensive staff is not slick enough right now.
And another thing, Sidney Jones, I think we messed up on that pitch.
Oh, really?
He was
all right. He was all right. He didn't kill him.
No, he didn't kill him, but it's just...
Darby killed him more than Sidney Jones. Picking on the wrong dude today.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. Sidney Jones is not a star player. I don't think. So, in retrospect, to think that they were getting some kind of first-round bargain when they took him in the second round, that might not play out.
That's fair.
He's all right. I don't know if he's a star-caliber player.
I think you're right.
All right, let's go Sean in Upper Darby. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
What's up, folks?
What's going on, Sean?
So, listen, on a calmer view, I don't think the sky's fallen yet at all. You know? With the offense, the drops were horrible. But, you know, I think the biggest problem is the secondary.
Yeah.
Because they can't cover anybody. Like, average receivers, I believe.
Right, but they're also not getting help from it. When you don't have a sack in the first three games, you're not helping out your back end. Sort of simple.
Right, but I mean, don't you think that's killing us a little bit, though? I mean, it does seem like they're getting chunks, the other team, right?
Yeah, they're not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. When you have mediocre corners, and they're mediocre corners, and that's why there was a clamor to get Jalen Ramsey, because he's better than a mediocre corner. When you have mediocre corners, if your defensive line isn't helping out, what do you expect these guys are going to do? Shut down receivers?
Right. Now, do you think, though, it would have been a different game, obviously, yesterday if they had Jackson and Jeffries out there, right? I mean, do you think it would have been a different game?
Of course.
Right. So, I mean, that's why people shouldn't be too upset.
Yeah, but
right?
you're thinking that they're both going to come back, you know, healthy as freshly made pie.
I'm thinking we need better secondary,
But again, we're counting on guys coming back, but like, these nagging injuries when guys get over 30, they linger. Like, all of a sudden they're coming back and they're going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, I hear it. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
All right, man, you got it. All right, let's see. The sky's not falling, he said. Let's take a quick look at it. Packers, Tyrone.
Loss.
1-3. Jets, 2-3.
Win.
At the Vikings.
I got that as a win.
Okay.
Because I think guys will be back for that.
3-3. At the Cowboys.
A win.
Win.
Yeah. Keep playing it out.
That's 4-3.
Uh-huh.
Bills.
Loss.
4-4. Bears at home.
Loss.
4-5. Well, at 4-5,
that's where I'm at right now.
Bets are off.
I think
they're not going to sweep to go 11-5 at that point. They have five losses at this time. What are you talking about? A 10-16 that maybe gets a wild card?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. That is the equivalent of the sky is falling. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.